Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. I said to myself this afternoon, I think Brother Wiggins ought to do some singing tonight. I knew that tonight we'd have some out, but it's a good crowd for Mother's Day night. Commend your faithfulness tonight. I know many could not be here, out still with their mamas somewhere, I guess. So appreciate Brother Wiggins. Good to see you. A lot of our college students back. It's good to see Shelby singing this evening, and proud of Reed Spivey graduating from A&M yesterday. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, never mind. Yeah, Brother Ratledge doesn't want to be recognized. We'll do that next another Sunday. No, Brother Ratledge was even in college, but he graduated yesterday. Yeah, from Arlington, right? UTA. So he can check that off his list. I like that. And anyway, simple message tonight, familiar message. I sure enjoyed studying on Manoah's wife this morning, and I hope it came across okay and got some things out of it. Tonight, just a simple instruction on the family found in Ephesians chapter 5, very familiar passage. Verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." I always like to point out that verse 21 says, "Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God," and that we all ought to submit to each other. As it's speaking to the wife, of course, it's speaking of the role of the wife, the biblical role of the wife, the biblical role of the husband, and the biblical role of children. That's what we'll go over tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word that gives us instructions on how to raise our families, how to conduct our marriages. And I pray tonight that we would continue to stand on your word and follow its instruction. God, that we may be blessed, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'll be quick tonight, but we all understand and know the family's under attack, and God's first institution was the family, not the church. And God instituted the church. God instituted the family. He's the one who ordained it. He's the one who designed it, and therefore he has all authority in it. And certainly if he designed it, we ought to follow his design. Amen. And I know this is old hat for a lot of us, but it's good to be reminded that we as Christians ought to follow the Word of God. The Word of God is our roadmap in marriage. It doesn't matter how young you are. We've got a lot of children in here tonight. Or how old you are, that we ought to follow the biblical pattern for marriage. At Heritage Baptist Church, we stand for the Christian home and for the biblical marriage and the biblical family. And, of course, we know today that again, is under attack. I don't want to spend all my time on that. We'll speak about the biblical roles. And, again, as we think about the biblical roles, we think about verse 25. And speaking of the husband, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Can I remind husbands here tonight that we're to love our wives unconditionally? That Christ loved us, gave his life for us, and as husbands, we ought to be willing and should live in such a way as to love our families unconditionally. And here's more specifically talking about our wives. I'm thankful that God gave his only begotten son for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is an unselfish love that Jesus Christ demonstrated to us, that he sacrificed himself on Calvary. And so many times I think we as husbands kind of get off track and we don't display that love as we should. Right? We are selfish by nature. It don't take a whole lot to get us in that selfish mode, and whatever that may be. And I could give lots of examples of myself, but I won't tonight. You know, it is amazing how we find ourselves in a rut of simply doing the same thing, same way over and over again. I'm that type of person. And we find ourselves sometimes in bad ruts. We need to be careful what rut we get into, right? It's not bad to be in a rut as long as it's a good one. As long as it's a biblical rut, but sometimes we can get in a position where we neglect our wives and not loving them properly, not loving them the way we should, and all the wives should be going like that to their husbands and taking that role. And then for the wife, we think about loyalty. Loyalty, submitting, it says, submitting yourselves to your husbands, verse 22, as unto the Lord. And I want to remind you, it says, as unto the Lord. He may not deserve it, but that's not the thrust of the message or the passage. It says you submit to him not because he's worthy of it, but you're to submit unto him as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. As you submit to him, you're submitting to the Lord. And verse 21 speaks of that as well. Unconditional loyalty to the husband. Unconditional loyalty. Be submissive unto him as unto the Lord. Verse 33 speaks of the wife respecting or reverencing her husband. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. So he again repeats that to the husband, that he's to love his wife as he loves his own body. We could spend some time there, couldn't we, guys? You know? Hello? No? We're all right? Yeah, you know. After this, I've already decided what I'm eating. I thought about before church, not during church. I was hopefully worshiping as I should. But I do want a chicken grilled stuffed burrito tonight from Taco Bell, 800 calories. Just one burrito. Weighs about 3 pounds. You ever had one? It's good stuff. Yeah. It's cheap. Drink a bucket of water with it. It's good for you. Yeah, Brother Josh. Wife's buying tonight. It's Mother's Day. All right, that's totally opposite of the message. But if you think about respecting or reverencing the husband, or being reminded that the wife is not to speak ill of her husband. If you think about that, well, what does that mean, preacher? It means not to speak ill of him in front of the kids. Hello? It means when you're with your friends, girlfriends, that you don't speak ill of him, that you reverence your husband. It means to pray for him, seek God's face. And there's other things there that if we were not in mixed company, I would talk about, but reverence your husband, respect him. You say, well, he doesn't deserve my respect. The passage doesn't say that. Hello, right? So I didn't pick on y'all much this morning. Thought I'd do it tonight. The role of the husband is that of the head of the house. The role of the wife is to be submissive to the husband. The role of the kids is to obey mom and dad. That is the role. The roles are not one above another. Does that make sense? In other words, they're equal. Men are superior at being fathers. Women are superior at being mothers. Men are superior at being men. Women are superior at being women. It's the role in which God has placed you. It has nothing to do with whether you're smarter than someone else or another than the husband, or the husband smarter than the wife. It has to do with the biblical role that God has placed you in. Husbands, we need to be careful in that role. Wives need to be careful in that role. To submit to that role. And if you submit to that role, God says he'll bless the home. I think so many times we find some issues in the home because one or the other is not allowing the other to fulfill the role that they're supposed to be fulfilling. And so just encourage you in that way. I'm going to move on. Then we think about leadership. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the children's role. And y'all, the children, listen up. Everybody with me? Kids, ready? Teenagers? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, that's the disciplines, and the admonition speaks of instructions of the Lord. Bring them up in the disciplines and instructions of the Lord. This is the role of the children, to honor their parents. And by the way, that just should never stop. We should always honor our parents. No matter how old we may get, we still honor our parents. I thank you guys for allowing me a week or so ago to go on vacation with my dad. And we plan to make that an annual event as long as he's physically capable and able. And so I'm so thankful my dad's still around. I want to honor and obey and respect my dad. and certainly want to do that all of his life. And we ought to honor and respect. And we think about the role of the kids and young people tonight is to honor and obey, to never stop doing so. Parents, we're committed to provide biblical leadership in the home, to define the boundaries for the children, for the young people, what is right versus what is wrong. We are to be their parents, and I know this is going to sound different maybe to some of you, but we're not their pals. There is a difference. And when it speaks about the father not provoking the children to wrath, I could tell you right now that the biggest thing that provokes a child to wrath is inconsistency. And inconsistency in one's own life. In other words, the dad and the mom not being consistent in their lives, but also being inconsistent when it comes to discipline and the way in which you're raising them. And so can I just encourage you parents tonight? There's a lot of young couples here tonight. Be consistent when you're raising your children. Be consistent in the discipline of your children. I don't know how many times, and I've said this many times, but I don't know how many times I've had parents come to me and say, Pastor, I followed your advice on disciplining my children, and still not working. I said, well, how many times did you follow the, well, I did it up to this point, and it stopped working, so I stopped. I said, we got to keep going. You just got to be consistent. Well, how many times do I have to apply the Board of Education to the seat of understanding to that kid? I said, you just got to keep doing it. Just got to keep doing it. I do want to tell you that and remind parents that the Board of Education will not work unless they understand and know that you love them. And love is spelled T-I-M-E. If you're spending time with that child, if you're spending time with that young person, and you enforce discipline on them, 9 times out of 10, they're going to accept it and go on. And then every once in a while, you have one of them hard cases. It's called the strong-willed child. I was one. My dad will tell you. In fact, we here a few weeks ago, remember he kind of testified to that down here at the bottom when he was sitting there. That was mean of him. But I was a strong-willed child. My dad tells the story. I got a spanking every day till I was 12. I deserved every one of them. He's exaggerating a little bit, but it was very strong-willed, very hyperactive kid. And I'm so thankful for my dad who was consistent. I could tell you from time to time when he wasn't consistent, usually he would come back and say, you know what, I've been giving you too much leeway, and I'm sorry about that, and so we're going to reinforce the rules. I'm not saying you don't have to re-up every once in a while. Hello, parents. And we go, I've done that in our family every once in a while. I go to our boys and say, hey, all right, things have got a little slack around here. From this point forward, we're going to kind of re-up. And here we go, all right? And so, but be consistent. Be consistent with your kids. Be consistent. It is the role of the parent to provide leadership. It's the role of the parent to define the boundaries. And James Dobson and many other of the research groups will tell you, in fact, there's a book called Boundaries. And it's a pretty good book, that children want that. You say, children want boundaries? Yes, they want clearly defined boundaries. Here's where I'm at. Here's what I can do. Here's what I can't do. And here's what's going to happen if I do this. Right? And so we do that. Children, it says. Are you listening, young people? Ready? Obey your parents, for this is right. You ought to have this memorized. Honor thy father and thy mother. You have it memorized, Tyler? Why? Because it's the first commandment with promise. Well, what's the promise? It tells you what the promise is. That they may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That thou mayest live long on the earth. Right, Adam? Right? That thou mayest live long. So the blessing and the long life come to young people, come to children, when they honor and obey their parents. I wasn't picking on Adam just for that. But this goes for everybody. All you young people. You want blessing from God, you want long life, honor and obey. And there's a book we have. I just took the last one out of the bookstore called Shepherding a Child's Heart. If you're a young couple, you ought to have that book. You ought to read it. Shepherding a Child's Heart. And we'll order some more and put it in the bookstore. But she speaks of in the book about the circle of blessing. And it's a biblical principle. And that is, if your child honors and obeys, then that child, I'm talking about circle now, honor and obey, right? Everybody can see me? Honor and obey, then they get the blessing and they get the long life. And so it is the responsibility of the child, the young person, to honor and obey their parents. But it is also the responsibility of the parent to keep that child within the circle. And you do so by discipline, by time in love with them, spent with them, and keeping them inside the circle. When you let them outside the circle, you're just as responsible as they are for letting them out. And therefore getting them out of this blessing that they'll receive from God. Hello? When you are slack, when you allow your child to run the house, when you allow fathers to allow your child to run the mother, then you have allowed that child to get out of the circle of blessing and you're responsible for it. Sure, the problem's the child, but the problem's also you. I know I make fun of this and I make light of it. I don't mean to, but the kid's this tall. And you're letting them do whatever they... I still don't get it. Brother Kirby, I don't get it. I don't see how someone allows a 3 or 4 year old to run them. I just don't get it. I pick the child up. I'm bigger than he is. I pick the child up. I take him to where I can apply the Board of Education. By the way, be kind in that. Loving. Should never be done in a manner in which you are angry. If you're angry, do not spank your child. Hello? You should never, ever spank your child while you're angry. Go cool off. Come in and instruct your child. Tell them what they've done wrong. Have them repeat it to you. Then discipline them. Then have them repeat it to you again while they got disciplined. And then, of course, with our kids, we've always said, as my dad did to me, tell me you love me. I love that part. Love you, Dad. Love you. I love you too. And it is over. We may wrestle on the floor after that. There's no hard feelings. No. It's instruction time. Keep them in the circle of blessing. You're responsible for that parent to make sure that happens. And that's whether they're a 3-year-old or they're an 18-year-old. An 18-year-old still under your roof. I had this repeated to me by a kid the other day. He who pays the bills makes the rules. So as long as I believe biblically, the biblical principle, the biblical policy is, as long as you are paying the bills for that child, then therefore, I don't care if he's 21, then you have the right to say what's going on. Right? If they want to be independent, then they need to be independent. That's the biblical pattern. Amen? Everybody want to testify to that? I know some of you got really small kids, and I just encourage you, man, just be consistent. Again, parents, dads especially, that time is so important. T-I-M-E. It's important that you spend time with your children. I know a lot of times we use sports for that, but can I tell you, if your kid out there is playing baseball on the field, that's not spending time with him or her. Now, in the yard where you can talk to him, that's a little different. Just be careful. It's not about quantity of time, about quality of time and spending time and having that time to talk with them. With my kids over the years, we've used fishing and other things to do that, and sometimes working in the yard together, or whatever the case would be, but spending time with your kids, and I have so much more here. Honor and obey your parents, teaching your kids proper instruction, instructions, disciplines, and instructions from the Bible. A lot of hurting families out there today. We continue to want to be a place where hurting families can come to our church and be encouraged. That grace, according to James, ought to be felt in the house of God. And today we have so many that are struggling. Can I encourage you men to be strong? 1 Corinthians, remember this verse, 3:16? Quit ye like men, be strong. Take courage. Remind husbands that you took a vow. Remind wives that you took a vow before God to stay together forever. To encourage you to spend time with one another, as we spoke about this morning, as a mom and a dad, as a husband and wife. And when you do fall, and when others fall, that we as Christians pick them up, according to Galatians, he who is spiritual restores such a one. That we ought to be restorers. Amen? That we ought not to kick others when they're down. Pick them up, lift them up. I had someone ask the question recently again. Pastor, what do you feel, or how do you feel, or what can a divorced person do at Heritage Baptist Church? And I tell them, anything. Besides be the pastor and a deacon. And the Bible's very clear on that. You can't be a deacon. You have to be the husband of one wife. It means you cannot be divorced and remarried and be a deacon. A pastor, the Bible makes it very clear that in order to be a pastor, you cannot be divorced. And that is biblical down the line. That's only the modernists have changed that in the last 30 years. They like to make that to be something else when it's been interpreted for the last 500 years just the way it says. So we just take the Bible as the way it says. So in only those two instances is there some restriction put on someone who's been divorced and remarried. God loves you. God cares for you. And God forgives. And we should forgive. And you go forward. I'm thankful I can start over every day with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus, and I can start over every day. So, if you do remarry, and I know many of you here tonight are, then you start over with the one God's given you then, and you go forward in that. Grandparents tonight, respect the biblical role of the mom and dad, right? But also remembering that you have a part in raising those children as well. I've told many stories about my papa and grandma on my dad's side there on the farm and how much influence they had in my life, especially my papa, and working with him, learning how to work hard, also singing with him. He used to love to sing, and then I memorized Psalm 23 with my grandparents. I distinctly remember sitting in bed with them and learning Psalm 23, memorizing it with my papa. And what an influence you can have on your grandkids and your great-grandkids. I remember my papa saying about Caleb and Joshua, he said, "I'm so glad I got to be a grandparent again." Some of you grandparents know that, you know, as the grandkids get older, they stop coming, you know. And then some of you get to repeat it again with great-grandkids, right? And so I look forward to that day maybe someday, if God allows. But remembering that we as families work together in raising the children. Fathers, the greatest gift you can give your kids is to love their mother. To love their mother as Christ loved the church. Mothers, the greatest gift you can give your kids is to honor and reverence and respect your husband. And then children, the greatest gift you can give your parents is to honor and obey them. For this is right. Teenagers, right? Everybody kind of nod your head this way. Adam, got it? Nod your head this way, like this. Good job, Adam. Be tender with your kids, parents. Love them, yet define the boundaries and keep them within the boundaries. We at Heritage want to stand on biblical marriage. The father's role, the wife's role, and the children's role. Again, the mother and father's role are equal but different. There's not one superior over the other. Just simply God has defined the roles. And if he's the designer, if we'll follow the design, we will be blessed by it. I always like to end with love is spelt T-I-M-E. Time. Parents, your family is more important than your job. Spend time with your kids. Quality time. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instruction you've given us concerning the role of the dad and the mom and the child. I pray, God, that we would follow the biblical pattern, and we'll thank you for the blessings that we will receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 337.